Good morning. It's good to see everyone this morning. We're thankful for the visitors that we have with us today. You're most welcome, and we invite you to come and be with us whenever you have the opportunity to do so. I've seen a couple sentiments expressed on Facebook in regards to daylight savings time this year. Not going to fall back this fall. We don't need any more hours in 2020. And I am in complete agreement with that, not only for that reason, but for many others. Several weeks ago, maybe a couple of weeks ago, I got a Facebook poll, and it was from Facebook, asked me to participate in it in regards to COVID-19 and, do I know anyone who has caught the virus? Do I know anyone who's died of the virus? Do I know anyone who knows anyone who knows anyone who caught the virus? And, that kind of stuff. And I can answer no, to most of those. I am aware of cases of people that I don't personally know, but people I personally know who know people and relatives and loved ones who have caught the virus and even have died from the virus. Then it got into a section of the questions that said, have you experienced depression or anxiety because of the state of situation because of the virus? And I had to answer yes to that. It had went on long enough that it's bearing on you, weighing on you, and last week's lesson on patience really kind of grew out of that. That's a lesson that we all need. Sometimes we just get impatient with the situation. And as you learn more about this virus, the more you realize how much you don't know about it. Just this past week, a Chinese technician, endocrinologist from Wuhan, actually has escaped from there and had close association with this. And she has stated that this actually is a man-made virus, that it is a weaponized virus. And so, that makes you sit up and take notice once again. This isn't just another flu. This is a virus that is designed to do exactly what it's doing and to be a moving target. That's why nobody has any answers. And so, all of these kinds of things kind of come in and register with you. And I couldn't help but think of the words of Jesus in John chapter 14 as he begins that chapter. And he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." I'd like for us to think for a few moments this morning about when our heart is troubled. God doesn't say that it's a sin for us to be troubled. He just says, don't be overly troubled. Don't be overly concerned. And the Bible has a lot to say about this particular subject, and we're not going to cover near all of it. You'll probably think after I've completed this lesson, you'll think, well, why didn't he mention this verse and that verse and so on and so forth? And those are all good verses, too. But I hope that we'll all benefit from this study. When your heart is troubled, try to identify the reason why it's troubled. You'll remember that Mary and Martha were actually entertaining Jesus and the disciples in their home. And we have this incident recorded for us in Luke chapter 10, verses 40 through 42, where it says, "Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached Jesus and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me.' And Jesus answered her and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken from her. Now, we can understand Martha's anxiety, can't we? Here she's got a house full of people. She's trying to entertain them, probably preparing food and all of those types of things. She's got a lot to do. And her request of Jesus wasn't unreasonable. Oh, and her request of Mary wasn't unreasonable. But Jesus put things into perspective. And I've always been impressed with what he says to Martha when he said, "You are worried and troubled about many things." Certainly, we live in a day and time, a situation now that we can be worried and troubled about many things. The virus and that situation, we hear news from our own families, loved ones' families who have loved ones who receive troubling news about their health, finances, the situation politically in our country. All of these things are things that we can and probably should be troubled about. But we need to remember in such times that one thing is needed. One thing is needed. We are to view our troubles with the correct perspective. In light of that one thing, in Matthew 6 and verse 33, Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things shall be added to you." In this part of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus has been talking to them about how that we are concerned about what are we going to eat and what are we going to wear and where are we going to live and how are we going to survive, in other words. And these are things that we need to think about and plan for. We can even be troubled about these things. But Jesus comes to this point in his sermon and he says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." If you want to be troubled about something, be troubled about, am I right with God? Am I putting first things first? Am I loving God? Am I thinking about him? Is my relationship with God more important than anything else that's going on in my life? And am I maintaining that? Debbie and I are refinishing a piece of outdoor furniture that requires me to use a belt sander. And this is not, you know, this is a Harbor Freight, cheap as you can get belt sander. And it does the job. But it also, maybe all belt sanders do this, but I find that after I've sanded on it for just a little bit, the wheels on it get gunked up and it gets full of sawdust and all that kind of stuff. So I have to stop just about every other board and clean that all out, clean the wheels off and all that, you know. And I was thinking about, you know, here's something you use all that I'm using, you know, constantly, but I have to stop using it and maintain it. Because if I don't, it's going to stop working. Which I found out the hard way. And thankfully, you know, I could figure out how to get it all cleaned up and get it back going again. And so I started maintaining it from then. Sometimes I think we take the kingdom of God for granted. And we stop cleaning it up. We stop praying. We stop reading. We stop meditating. We get troubled about many things. And we forget that the answer to all of our troubles is God and trusting in him. Jesus went on to say here in verse 34, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow." What's going to happen tomorrow? We are concerned about that, aren't we? But Jesus, now notice what he says here, "Do not worry about tomorrow." He, in essence, Jesus is saying, don't take any thought for tomorrow. In fact, he goes on to say, tomorrow will worry about its own things. That's an interesting statement. Tomorrow Well, worry, and then he explains that, maybe even with a smile on his face. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. You don't even know what to worry about, is basically what he's saying. You don't know what tomorrow's going to be. You don't know what to be troubled about what's going to happen tomorrow. And I'll tell you, if you like to read the scriptures, and I hope you do, I commend to you John chapter 14, 15, and 16 especially. Because you put this into the context of where Jesus is in his life and the disciples are in their life. This is the night before his crucifixion. And he is talking to them very intimately. I'm going away. I'm going to send a comforter to you, but I'm going away. But in the context of what he's going to say in this entire time, 14, 15, and 16, he's going to say, you know, people aren't going to like you. People are going to hate you because you believe in me and you do my will. People have rejected me and they'll reject you. People have tried to arrest me and they will arrest you. People have tried to kill me and they're going to kill me and they will kill you because you believe in God and you believe in me. I've heard several times this week that the fastest growing, in fact, the largest religion in the United States of America today is atheism. People don't believe in God. And you wonder why things are happening as they are in the news. It's because people don't believe in God. It goes back to that old principle that God outlined for us in the prophets. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. When people don't know where they came from, they don't know they're created in the image of God, they're not going to fulfill the image of God in their life. When people don't know their history, they're not going to try to maintain their history. That's exactly what's going on in our country today. And so when Jesus was telling the disciples about people hating them and people putting them in prison and people killing them, keep in mind that that's all in the context of how this conversation began in John 14 and verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. In spite of the fact that people are going to reject you and hate you and not like to be around you, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. I don't think the apostles were thinking that far ahead. They were troubled that Jesus had told them he's going away, and he's trying to prepare them for the days to come. No doubt they, like we, will remember these words. When your heart is troubled, that is the time to trust God. In Mark 4 and verse 40, Jesus has just calmed the Sea of Galilee. The ship, the boat that they were in was sinking, and Jesus was asleep in the back part of the boat, and they wake him up and say, Master, don't you care that we're perishing? And he gets up and he rebukes the wind, peace, be still, and there's a great calm. And then he turns to them and said, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Now the situation they were in was a perilous situation. When they said, we're sinking, they weren't exaggerating. Don't you care? Of course he cares. Trust God. When we fail to trust God, when we focus on our troubles and the overwhelming nature of our troubles without trusting the promises of God, we need to hear these words. Why are you so fearful? Don't you know who's on your side? Don't you know who's in your ship? Don't you know that nothing is impossible with God? Don't you know that even if you die, I will give you a crown of life? In Isaiah chapter 35 and verses 3 through 4, I find comfort in these words. He says, strengthen the weak hands, make firm the feeble knees. You know, when you're troubled, you realize how weak you are. You realize how insecure you are. And God says, strengthen your hands, make firm your feeble knees. And that's easier said than done, isn't it? And yet it can be done. Say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong. Do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with recompense of God. He will come and save you. Now, Israel was aware of their national situation and their enemies round about them and the threats that were there, and they were very real threats, and so this is said in that context. But nevertheless, these words hold true when we are troubled. Behold your God, with whom nothing is impossible. He will come. He will save you. He will not forsake you. In John 14 and verse 1, as we mentioned at the beginning of the lesson, where Jesus began that conversation, and he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. That's not the only time in this conversation he said that. Later in the chapter, in verse 27, he says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. My peace. My peace is different from any other peace that you've ever experienced. My peace is different than national peace or political peace or family peace that's kind of fleeting, you know, peace for a while and then not so peaceful. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give this peace to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Don't be afraid that I told you I'm going away. Don't be afraid that I said that people will hate you and despise you and persecute you. Don't be afraid. Don't be troubled. You believe in God. Believe in me. In 1 John chapter 4, and verse 4, we find, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Many times we're troubled because of temptation. We're troubled that we haven't overcome the temptation. We're troubled that we continually give in to the same temptation. Just keep fighting the battle. You might lose a few battles, but you're going to win the war if you continue to trust God. He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. In verses 16 through 19 of the same chapter, he says, we have known and believe the love that God has for us. Now think about that for a moment. What is the extent of the love that God has for us? Well, John 3:16, Jesus said, he gave his only son. That's expressed in Romans chapter 8 and verse 32, where it says, if God gave us his son, will he not also freely give us all things that we have need of? If God gave us his son, what makes us think that he's going to withhold anything from us? that if we're troubled about anything, that we can cast all of our cares upon Him, and He cares for us, and He's going to hear our prayers and answer our prayers. God is love. Herein is the key. What is love? Remember? Love is a sincere interest in the welfare of others. One word definition of agape, love, is others. Love doesn't think about self. When we are troubled, who are we thinking about? A lot of times we're thinking about self. What's going to happen to me? And so, in answer to this, we have known and believed that the love that God has for us, God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. That's covered in John chapter 14 too, isn't it? That if we love him and keep his commandments, what did Jesus say? I and my Father will make our abode with him. We will abide in him. We will make our habitation in him, in that individual. He who abides in love abides in God. And you can flip that scripturally too. If you abide in God and abide in love, then certainly God abides in you. Love has been perfected among us in this. Love has been completed. Love has been reciprocated when our trust in God, our love for God, abides within us and God abides in us. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because this is how love has been perfected among us, because as he is, so are we in this world. How is he? God is love. God is others focused. God is focused on you and on me. And if we abide in him, then we are focused on God and living to his praise and his glory, doing his will, keeping his commandments, glorifying him by keeping his commandments. Love is perfected among us in that we have become as he is, others focused, not self focused. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. We've talked about this before. There is no fear in love. Why does a fireman run into a burning building that's about to collapse? He's not thinking about his own safety. He's thinking about someone in there who will die if he doesn't go get him. Love has no fear. So when we take the focus off of ourselves and put it on God to do his will, regardless of the consequences that come to us, we begin to understand what John is talking about here. Perfect love casts out all fear. Fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. So if we're still afraid, well, if I speak the truth, then somebody's going to be offended. They're not going to like me. They're going to unfriend me. They're going to this or that or whatever. We've got a ways to go. We haven't learned to love. He who fears is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. How much? He gave his only son. How much are we to love him? If If it means giving our life, we will. When your heart is troubled, trust God. Believe. You know, in John 14, 15, and 16, that's one of the main subjects he keeps coming back to. You believe in me, you believe in God, but these people here, they don't believe in God. They don't believe in me. When you are troubled, don't stop believing. Let me tell you something. God is not Santa Claus that you have to believe in him for him to exist. God exists whether you believe in him or not. And every knee will bow before him on a great judgment day. When you are troubled, trust God and believe in him. Romans 15 and verse 13, it says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing." Where does that peace come from? It comes from believing. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. "That you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Trust God. Believe him. Know him. 2 Peter 1 and verse 2 says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." There are a lot of people who feel like they know God, and in their times of trouble, their belief wavers because they realize they're trusting their feelings. They're trusting what they think without any validity to it. God encourages us to know God, to know him as he's revealed himself to us through his word, his verified word. Know him and trust him. We are to love his law. Psalm 119 and verse 165 says, "Great peace," not trouble, "great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble." Trust God and walk in his rule. Galatians 6 and verse 16 says, "As many as walk according to this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God." We walk according to this rule. We're not going to be troubled. We're going to be at peace with God. And we might receive troublesome news. Troublesome things might happen to us. But in the midst of that storm of trouble, there is calm and peace, knowing that God is at the helm of your life and that you are at peace with him. When your heart is troubled, overcome your troubles. By believing in God, trusting in him, John 16 and verse 33, Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you that you might have peace." Remember, this is in that same context of John 14, 15, and 16. This is the conclusion of what he is saying. "These things I have spoken to you that you might have peace." And he's talked to them about things that they could be troubled about. You're going to be rejected. You're going to be killed. People aren't going to believe your message. And some people are going to believe your message. There were things that they could be troubled about. But he says, "I've spoken these things to you before they happen so that you can prepare yourself for them. I've spoken these things to you that you might have peace." In the world, you will have tribulation. And say, might have, could have, it's possible. No, you will. In the world, you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And so you reflect back to John 14, 15, and 16. If you love me, keep my commandments, John 14 and 15. He who loves me will keep my commandments. And my Father and I will make our abode in them, our habitation in them. Jesus overcame the world, and we can overcome the world and the tribulation that is in it. In John 14 and verse 1 again, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." The Jews claimed to believe in God, but their rejection of Jesus as the Messiah and the Son of God proved that they didn't believe God and his word. To his apostles, he said, "You believe God. Believe me. Don't let your heart be troubled. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Continue in me, and you can have peace." Believe Jesus when he said, "Except you believe that I am he, you will die in your sin." Believe Jesus when he said, "Except you repent, you will perish." Believe Jesus when he said, "If you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven." Believe Jesus when he said, "He that believes and is baptized will be saved." Believe Jesus when he said, "Abide in my word, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." In times of trouble, when your heart is troubled, identify the reason and realize where your trust, where your strength, and where your peace abides. And go to him. Trust him. Stay in him. Always, in all things. If you're here this morning and you haven't obeyed the gospel of Christ and you've decided it's time to make that commitment, we're ready to assist you. If you're ready, all things here are ready. We invite you to make that good confession and to be baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins and rise to walk with him in newness of life. If you're here today as a child of God, you find yourself out of favor with him, you need to make things right with him and with the Lord's church. James tells us to confess our faults to one another, pray for one another. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. If you're here today and you're troubled about many things, can we pray with you and for you? We would love to do so. If you're subject to the invitation in any way, would you please come as we stand and sing this song?